bees and porn and shenanigans and path girl trying to have sex with me secretly. What is going on with this world?
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. What?
I knew he was going to bring this up.
What is going on with it? Well, I mean, look, when you flirt with me and send me cute memes that say you want to fuck me, and then you go, oops, I meant to send that to Donis. What am I supposed to think? What am I actually
supposed to send it to Donis? That you're
I don't know. Donis and Boogie are two different names.
I talked to you guys back to back. You sent me a message saying, hey, what time are we starting?
Bet you want to be on your back, you dirty minx. Okay, perverted podcast listeners. So like literally 5 minutes before the show, I send like, hey, we're going to get on the show, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay. And then all of a sudden I get this meme that's like some old timey kind of thing where a guy's handing 1800 woman in a thing, parlor
it's
thing.
It's called some e-cards, if you would know
whatever,
better.
Jesus. Okay, whatever. Don't distract from the fact that you're a whore and you're trying to fuck me from afar.
Well, I am a whore, but I'm not trying to fuck you. So there
it says, hey, sexy, take this. It's a one-way ticket to Pound Town, and I'm the mayor. And I'm like, what?
It's very appropriate that that horn blew behind you. Choo-choo!
What?
Mayor Pound Town.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then she's like, oops, it was supposed to go for Donis. And it's like, you want to fuck me? Kathy doesn't want to fuck me? Like, what's going on in my world right
Kathy.
Now?
No, I'm with Kathy. I don't want to fuck you either. I will publicly
whatever.
State that.
By the way, perverted podcast listeners, like last week, I had one of those ideas. Because like when I went and had dinner at Kathy's a couple weeks ago, we're like talking and we're so friendly and, you know, we talk shit and we have all this history that, you know, you and the perverted podcast listeners know that we have all this crazy chemistry. And I just am like, I'm there. And I was thinking, I don't know if I said this on the show, but I'm like, I should just give her a spanking. It would be fun. Not sex, because that would obviously be kind of weird. But like, I like giving spankings. She likes getting spankings. And I thought, you know, but I thought it better to not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, her and her sister are there. I'll spank both of you. Why not? It'd be fun. We'd be laughing. Be cute. You know.
Wait. Is that the train again? No, I'm sorry. That's the scream of Kathy in terror going, yeah!
So like last weekend, I was texting her like a picture of a turkey or something. Mm-hmm. Something stupid and funny. And they said, oh, by the way, do you want a non-sexual spanking? There, I said it.
Hi, I made it awkward.
And she literally texts back like 5 minutes later. Whoa, bro, you need a woman. I'll take you to a munch. I'll pay for you to get in. This is
not cool, dude.
And I'm like, bro, no. This isn't just like me being desperate. This is like something I've thought about for you. And when I talked to her on the phone, cause obviously she's like, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. She's saying like, you're crazy, but like, you're crazy. Cause I'm picking up on her in a text. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're crazy. And so I'm like, is this? And I'm like, so I come back all domly and I'm like, you know, you still haven't said no.
Oh, God.
I thought that would push the envelope, you know? Like that's where I'm just laying down the hammer. And then she, you know, I think had to go talk to her sister about it and then came back and was pretty clear that she said no. She's like, you know, if it would just work out, that would be great, but it's not. But we can still, and then she pulled like fucking friend zone on me and she saw, but we can still go to El Pollo Loco. And I'm like, oh, did you have to make it ugly? Did you have to make it ugly, Kathy? Jeez. And I talked to her on the phone because I knew it would be awkward and I couldn't pass up an opportunity to have an awkward conversation with Kathy because that's never not fun. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, whatever. And because this was a few days later. And and she's like, you know, oh, I totally forgot about that. I'm like, I know. Sure you did. Of course you did. And then she started going on her Kathy thing. And I'm like, look, this wasn't because I'm desperate to spank someone. We have hundreds of perverted podcast episodes. I invented Brofinger basically because of you. Brofinger is basically because of you. There is tons of evidence. Even when I was at the peak of the harem in the Love Lab and we were playing with all sorts of different cute girls, I was still always offering to spank you or play with you. Maybe not sexually, because obviously that would be weird between us, according to her. But I did offer. But play's a different thing. And then she shot me down, and then you want to fuck me. Oh, God. I'm so confused.
You know what you also didn't offer to do?
What?
Start a show.
Oh, she probably did.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
The following show is for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. And if you don't like it, please go fuck yourself.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Do you feel your sex life is quite lame? Scared that your desires might be strange? Come and join the kinky world of play.
Perverted Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Perverted Podcast, the show where we explore the adventures of the kinky lifestyle, sex, and the human mind.
Recording on Zencaster, where I tried to send you something sexy, but the mailman said, get out of the mailbox. I'm Path Girl.
I am Count Boogie.
And I picked that before I sent you that damn meme, and now it means something completely different.
Jesus. Jesus. I just looked and I'm like, huh. I'm like, that's probably not for me. And sure enough, I was correct.
Oops.
I'm pretty sure, but that's okay. The bees, it's March now, and you know, like literally, dude, it's storage. It just came, like the sun just went boing, warmth, bees now crowding, trying to get in my storage. Mm-hmm. The dogs are all sorts of chaos. And I'm like, oh God, I hate fucking sunlight and spring. And it was so nice when things are colder, because everyone stays inside. And then when it gets hot, everyone wants to go outside and be in your face, and birds and mosquitoes. And
well, here's some more insult to your injury. Daylight savings time is Sunday.
Jesus, already.
I know. That's what I said. I was at my dentist yesterday. I was like looking at the weather. I was like,
kill
oh my
me.
God, is this Sunday? Jesus, we lose an hour of sleep. It's horrible.
Well, kids, thank goodness we have kink and perversion and dirty things to talk about, except with you and Kathy. So other than me and my butt hurt of being rejected constantly, do you have any magic to talk about with the kids?
I have not had any magic with Donis. However, I am going to a play party this weekend on Saturday, and I am going to put in an advance reservation with Doc, because I have not played with him in a couple of months. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And again, I'm always the person that if there's multiple people there and other people have not played in a while, I will step forward. I will step back and let them play. And then last events, it was somebody's birthday. But I have realized that with all the stress that I've had going on for like the last 6 or 7 weeks in my personal life, that I really need a beat me until I'm black and blue crying on the cross scene. So I'm going to be messaging Doc later and go, hi, I want an advance reservation. I want to be first in line. Please just please.
Just get the cookie ready.
Well, and here's the other thing also. I have been entertained. I saw back about a year or two ago, a vampire flogger. So everybody knows I like to play with vampire gloves, the gloves with the pins in it. And somebody had made a vampire flogger where they took the falls of a flogger and put the little golf prickly things you put in the bottom.
Right.
So I was trying to find one, because I was like, oh, I think I need to up the ante. And I cannot find anyone on Etsy or locally that's making them. And I know I've also seen the vampire floggers where they have like the little middle tips on the end.
Right.
So I'm looking for something a little more scratchy, bitey stuff. I was looking at chainmail floggers, but I've never played with one of those.
Well, the chainmail floggers aren't going to do the vampire-y thing.
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing. I would hate to give Doc a toy that he's never used before and go, hey, let me be a crash test dummy. There's been plenty of times like he's gotten new toys and has taken them home and practiced in his garage. He's got, you know, several pads and stuff that he practices on. Because, you know, all different floggers have different weights. They their handles are weighted differently. So it's just like, I would rather get something and say, hey, here's something I want to use. The next time we play, let's use it. So that way he can kind of break into it and kind of get the feel for it, you know, because there's been plenty of times like he's like, I could swing this flogger this way, but I have to swing this other flogger a different way because the handle's different. It's weighted different. It's made of different material, what have you. So I may just go for straight for a really deep vampire glove scene, or we've talked about playing with barbed wire before, but he's made barbed wire like kind of hitting sticks.
Sure, sure.
So maybe we'll do that instead, because at least I want him to have some type of control, because I'm worried about the chainsaw floggers that it's going to come back on him and bite him. So it's like,
Nah, once again, there's a learning curve with it. And I think that's a good point to the listeners, is that all floggers, everything has its own thing. So it's really good to not just pull something out of the bag and start swinging it at someone, because you every different weight swings differently and the different textures and stuff like that. But I mean, if it's a moppy flogger, I don't think you're going to get in that much danger, or if you're really experienced with floggers. But if you start putting things on the end and knotting the ends, and then you have especially if they're sharp objects or heavy things in the end, you really do kind of want to go beat a pillow with that a couple times before you go into the club and start wailing on someone with it.
Well, I remember even one time when I had bought my first Dragon Tail, there was a vendor there at the dungeon I went to that night that had a whole bunch of them, and one person bought one and then put his bottom on the cross. And, you know, so the vendor had said, hey, I have another person here to run the table for me, so if you guys want to take, I can give you like a 15-minute tutorial on the best way to do things, and gave some tips to people. But one guy and his girl decided, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to buy one and try it out. Puts his bottom on the cross, and his first whip hit the back of her neck.
Oh.
And she just safe worded immediately and said, done.
Ow. Ow.
Yeah. Yeah. She was not happy.
Yeah. There's a learning curve. Learning curve on the whips. Whips are unruly. Yeah. That's why all of us nerds sit there and beat on pillows and put pieces of paper that we hang on garage doors or on the ends of for me, it's a mic stand. And then you practice your accuracy, because that, man, let me tell you, whips are amazing.
Yes.
And if you can handle it well, it's not like it's not years of practice.
No, not at all.
But going slow, you just need to figure out how that thing falls. To do it slowly and have that gentle little whip, because even a little bit is going to give a real nice sting. So whips are not like, you know, tear into it. It's not like, you know, we're watching in videos of bad days. But
Our guy even said, like, start with a piece of paper on taped on the wall. If you could just hit the same spot consistently or the same area, he's like, if you really get good, you should be able to put a playing card up and hit the same spot on the playing card, because then you know you can really dial it in. But even just using a piece of paper and kind of just getting the same area, all right, versus, you know, wrapping one around somebody and No.
Even though you also have to remember, your playing card is flat, and you're when you're dealing with a body, you're dealing with a raised shoulder and a raised buttock, and the small of a, you know, the back goes in and the shoulders go out and the butt goes out and the things. So you need to have practice those things at different depths of a few inches each and practice there, because there's a spine in the middle, there's a neck, there's, you know, it really is, you know, this turned into a kind of a segment on practicing with your toys, but it really is good. And it's just way funner than having your scene end and looking like an idiot.
Yes.
It's just more fun. It's way more fun to actually get to use a toy than to look like an asshole and hurt somebody you supposedly care about. I'm just going to say I'm old fashioned like that.
But Doc and I are going to hopefully have a very nice scene on Saturday, because I really, 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 really need it.
Well, I hope the beating is good and the cookie is good at the end of that.
Your dirty minds need to get wise. Be a smarter naughty slut from the stuff we talk about on Reddit.
So back to the Reds.
Yes.
Back to the Reds. And this one was very good for me because I understand what they were talking about. Everything, I'll just read it, but everything has 10 meanings.
Right.
You never know what the story under the story under the story is. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're in a situation, you know, this is one of those situations possibly. So Submissive writes in and says, my Dom struggles with giving me praise. And then she goes into praise is her biggest kink. Like, you know, and that is for a lot of submissives. They love to get that validation, the good girl, whatever you like to be called, your validation.
Yes,
I need it to get off. I need it to feel submissive. She needs it to get turned on. She's really into praise. And she immediately goes into, he's good about meeting all of her other needs. So it's not like he's an asshole. Mm-hmm. So he does all these things. But when it comes to praise, she has to remind him or ask him, which mm-hmm. takes her out of the moment. And yeah. once again, she's right up front. He's always happy to give me the praise when I ask for it, but I don't like that I have to ask for it.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't have to, you know, and then she kind of goes into her, you know, getting grumpy, which I'll leave out because it's valid. You get grumpy. Yeah. It's frustrating. Yeah. And then she doesn't know what to do. She feels this as a struggle and she's frustrated and she's communicated with him about it, about what type of praise she likes. But nevertheless,
yeah,
it's just not his go-to.
Right.
And then she writes in and asks for some advice on this, mm-hmm. which I love this topic because yes. this is story under story under story. And so why don't you go ahead and go first with what your thoughts are, and then I'll throw in.
So my brain went in like 20 different directions with this, and I completely understand that basically her needs are not being met. And now right. she's like, what do I do with this? So for me, I know she's communicated it inside the dynamic. I think you need to communicate it outside the dynamic, outside the bedroom. If you want to build a habit, you have to do it for consistently, you know, 30 days to make a new habit.
Right.
I would start it outside of the bedroom and say, you know, anytime he, you know, if there's any other submissive things you do, bring him a drink, bring him his coffee, you know, kneel at his feet, let him get in that habit of just doing the good girl or the, whatever the praise that she wants. And then obviously start carrying it inside the bedroom. You know, for inside of a scene, I understand you don't want to ask her because it takes you out of the mindset. Maybe do a nonverbal cue. Maybe like either stick a finger up when you think you might need something, or if you have something you could drop and easily pick back up, kind of give him like the, oh, I need to praise her, you know. But it's just the thing that about not getting your needs met is it starts to grow resentment.
Sure.
And then you have to kind of step back and go, how much of this am I going to take? How much of this is it going to be, am I going to let this go? Or am I going to say, this is a hard line and I need to basically say, I need this or else, and decide what your or else is?
Yeah, I'm on board with it. And I start with right off the bat, you have your needs in a relationship, just like I have my needs. Path Girl has her needs. Our listeners have their needs. So there is no invalidating of the fact. If that's something that you really, really strongly need, then obviously you should be able to advocate yourself. Even if you're the submissive, it doesn't matter. Yes. It doesn't matter if you're in a dynamic that you should, maybe outside of the scene, obviously that's where you're going to have all of these negotiations. Inside the scene, yes, once you're in the scene, you're trying to get in a headspace. And if you have to dominate your Dom to try to get what you want, then obviously you're not in that space. So I yeah. totally agree with you that some of these things are going to have to be worked on first outside of the scene. Mm-hmm. When I saw this, my first thing was, because if he was... this would be a no-brainer, get the fuck out, ditch that zero, get a hero conversation. If right. he wasn't meeting her other needs and wasn't so quick to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Of course you're great. You know, that there's the story under the story is maybe he's in survival mode. Maybe because I understand this very well. If he's attentive about your other needs, he may have issues from his past where he wasn't validated, where there was no validation as a child, where there was negative programming in your childhood, in past negative relationships, where you had to learn how to validate yourself, and it became like a thing where it's like, I'm not going to get validated from these people. So fuck you. I'll validate myself. I don't need, like, for me, absolutely. People go on, oh, I want my parents to be proud of me. I want to have that moment where my dad's proud of me. I never had any of that fucking shit. Fuck those motherfuckers. We're at war. We're at war. I will figure out how to validate myself. So, you know, then of course you go to therapy and you learn how to deal with shit, hopefully, in life as an adult. And even though you take some of those things back and you're not as resentful and you're dealing better with it, you still may be completely unattached to validation and praise. So I treat you good. I take care of you. I make you your fucking pancakes. I do, you know, I do all the things. I make you come. I hit you right, you know, and but I just don't verbalize it. Maybe I'm still holding on to something.
Right.
Maybe I'm still protecting myself. Maybe I still haven't gotten past the fact that I think people that need praise is weak because I told myself that that was a weakness to want that because I wasn't getting it. That's how I defend. That's part of the defense. And there's millions and millions of people that went through that in their other relationships in early childhood. So the only reason I, once again, that I say that is because all of the other behaviors are good. So it makes more sense that there is an issue with the actual verbalization of these praises. And if you can address that as a possibility, it's easier to not resent that. And once again, that has to happen in the conversation and you guys talk about it. And and he has to be willing to admit, maybe I have some issues around this, because it doesn't mean that you don't need what you need and that you don't need to work towards getting what you need, which I'll get into some of her stuff in a second. But does that make sense, what I'm saying?
No, it definitely does. And like, I can even see on her side the opposite of it. Like, she got all this praise when she was a kid, so she's used to getting it. And now that she's in a relationship where she's not getting it, she's missing it. So it may even be taking a step back and kind of looking and going, okay, yes, I need it, but why do I need it? Do I need it because this is a really hard scene and it would help me get to the scene? Or is it just something like, I just need it because I want it, you know, kind of being selfish about it. The other thing that kind of came across my brain, and that's just because I'm a parent of a neurodivergent kid. Could this guy be on the spectrum somewhere where it's just like, it's
possibility.
Not clicking. It's not clicking with him.
Total possibility.
You know, and it may just, and it may not be his fault, or even just, you know, going back to like we always say about what the love language is about. Her love language is words of affirmation. His love language is, I'm going to bring you coffee, or I'm going to make you pancakes, or I'm going to give you good aftercare. Having a nice conversation about like, what do I need to feel loved, or what do I need to feel desired or accepted during a scene? That would be a very important conversation to have. But I keep circling back to, even though my brain's going in four different directions, about you have to have a line in the sand about what is going to be your deal breaker. Yeah. Is this something that you're just going to basically accept and go, that need's never going to get met, but 99% of my other needs are going to get met, and just let the resentment go? Or is it going to be like, you know what, he's really great with everything else, but this is what I absolutely need, so it's a deal breaker.
Absolutely agree. You know what? I'm not going to digress, but I have to stop using the word absolutely because I don't believe in absolutes in the universe. This is just bugging me. I've been trying to not say absolutely. I'm always like, absolutely, absolutely. And now I've drawn everyone's attention to it. And now everyone's going to be like, you said it 11 times during the fucking show. I don't believe in absolutes, so
okay,
fucking
but I've thrown myself under the bus when I first started listening to my episodes. I used to say right all the time. So I literally have a piece of paper in front of me that says, don't say right. And I have alternate words there. So
I have to put a note.
Don't say absolutely.
I have to because I don't believe in absolutes. Just I agree. I agree with you, Path Girl.
I concur
in a major percentage. God, fuck me, damn it. So I agree with you. But here's the ironic thing. You said that maybe she received a lot of praise. She actually responded, because I always respond in Reddit because they don't hear what we talk about. And she said, actually, I'm a lot like what you described him to be. I didn't get any praise as a child.
Oh, okay.
And so the need is. But once again, it makes the exact same point that you need to find out. Because if you're going to make adjustments to the relationship and you're going to make adjustments to how you receive your praise from this person who may have their past issues or be on the spectrum or whatever it is, your self-reflection is very important too, because, and once again, we all need what we need in the moment that we need it. But what if what you need can be dealt with because you have things that you have to work on?
Yes.
What if you're now projecting this as a deal breaker onto this relationship because you have past issues? That may be worth looking at something too. And once again, we're not trying to take the focus off of him. You know, he still has things that he has to work on.
Right.
But it's also important to realize that you may have things that you need to look at both. Maybe both of you didn't receive praise and got programmed in your different directions with that. And maybe that can be a connecting. Maybe that can build your intimacy together, because now, even though you're manifesting it in opposite directions, you both have that understanding of what it's like to, you know, be programmed away from that.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That it could be something. That could be a connecting moment. No matter what, go for the connecting and intimacy first. Because if there's good stuff in the relationship, you want to do your best to keep it. If it, like you said, at the end, if it's not going to work and you're like, I can't live without this, and there's other opportunities and you're not, you know, hiding on a farm in you know, the middle of the tundra in, you know, Siberia. If you have other options, then yeah. But you should work on it. Fantastic topic. And hopefully these two do work it out. And it sounds like there's surely room for work between both of them.
Definitely.
And thank you, Reddit, for another interesting topic. Don't say absolutely.
When PP listeners don't send questions, Boogie's butthole feels the tension.
We must go to Reddit.
Pinky posts and fucked up problems.
Boogie gets our shit on Reddit.
They're unaware we try to solve them.
Daddy Enigma. Mm-hmm. You dirty, dirty, dirty boy, you. You have stories.
At first I was concerned, and then yes, I do have I have been up to some shenanigans as of late. Yes, I actually did. This was with a different partner. But on Saturday, this partner, they have been asking is a kind way to say it, for literally months at this point to get a heavy whipping scene.
Like flogging whipping or whip whips?
Like whip whips.
I didn't know you did whipping.
It's not my primary thing, but it's in the bag.
Okay, cool.
And so basically they are very much a masochist and a brat. And so, we've played before, and then we've also had conversations. Like we talk pretty regularly. And so it's very much, we have done all the negotiation of their bratting. And so, because they're very careful, because they understand that like some people, like they have a line with brats, and like I've talked about that before.
Sure.
There's a level that's just like, nah, I'm done.
Now you're just a dick. Now you're just being a dick. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, Me and this person have discussed that pretty extensively. And but anyway, so yeah, we got into it, and I am too ADD to just do floggers. But I mostly just brought stingy canes and crops, and like I brought one thuddy flogger to just like give some variety.
Right.
But yeah, it was just a sting party. And yeah, it was a good 30-45 minute scene of me just wailing on their butt, butt and thighs and back, and just like stinging the shit out of them. And it's been really entertaining to hear it have messages from them at their work being like, you know, my work chair seems better after I've ridden bus chairs with how my ass is right now. So yeah, it's just been, it was a lot of fun. And then at that same party, it was a Lupercalia themed party, which is, it's fancy. It's a fancy Wiccan witch term for like a full moon type thing. Cause it was a full moon this weekend.
Oh, okay. Did you do a ceremony, ritual?
So there was a ritual at midnight. Okay. I was in the backups for it, so I didn't get to actually do it, but it was a sex ritual.
Nice, as it should be. What other rituals are there? How lame are all the other rituals? Like, we're going to light some sage and do some... Fuck that shit, dude. Get to the human sacrifice. Get to the human sacrifice part of a ritual, goddammit. Do it right. Me being judgy.
Yeah. That's all right. But yeah, so there are about, I want to say, half a dozen groups. Because there were a couple couples, and then there was a couple groups of like three or four, and yeah, and it was just like we were chanting, and there was drumming, and it was a very hot way to end it, and then D stayed over, and we passed out, but then we woke up and did shenanigans in the morning, so you know that's always a great way to wake up. So
yeah. In other words, you were kind of a play whore.
I was a bit of a whore. Like I if I had been chosen for the sex magic thing, like that would have been fun. But like I was kind of glad that I just did the one scene,
right?
Because I have a personal rule for myself that I only do one scene a night.
Okay.
It's just I have experience where if I do more than one a night, like that means I'm neglecting the person that I played with first.
Right.
And that's not something that I am interested in doing. But yeah, so it was just a really fun weekend. And then also last night, like we kind of played with it before, but I was I was jerking off, and I was like, you know what? I want to play with those vibrating nipple clamps again, because we'd played with them once and didn't get a lot out of them. And so I pulled them out of the drawer and put them on while I was jerking off. And it was, I guess we hadn't done it in the right, I don't know, but they felt very nice last night. And I don't know. It's something that we were like talking about giving them away. And I'm like, now I kind of want to like play with these a little bit more and see if it's like, is it just a masturbatory thing, or is it something that we can do to get something? I don't know. It was just discovering different things about toys that I thought I wasn't into.
Wow. I mean, it's fun that you have options of experimentation with that.
Yeah.
And that you can go through the varying levels and see if it's something that you really connect with. Because it is true. There's some stuff that works that just doesn't work with people, you know, mm-hmm. And especially with headspace, you know, when you start getting into headspace types of play with yourself, there's certain things that you're into. And then you're just like, I don't really want to share that headspace with a person. But with mm-hmm. toys, it can be that way too.
Yeah, for sure.
These are all good reports.
Thank you.
And let's move into our topic of mm-hmm. destruction. Before, when I made the judgments about what to and what not to do during your ritual ceremony, I was being facetious and joking about that. Yes. Your desires are not my desires. And here is an example of when that can actually become pretty toxic in mm-hmm. a situation. So we have a Reddit post that I'm going to generalize. Mm-hmm. So the poster has a roommate, and I guess they've been living together for a while and been friends. They both identify as kinky. However, instead of being open, free thinking household that you would hope for, you know, that you would hope that you, oh, wow, we both have this thing that we can relate on. And I don't have to hide, you know, my feelings or thoughts, and oh, we can learn from each other and you know, maybe go to some classes together and be a support team, a positive support team for each other. No, that's not always the case. Sometimes it can get a little ugly when one of the persons, the poster, is into some harder stuff, you know, and in the real world. And the roommate mostly just does things online. So they go on frequent rants against people who do hard kinks. They go against frequent rants against the people that do them, against the activities themselves. And without knowledge that the poster is into this. That this is who they are as a person and that's how they want to be. So obviously you're living with this person that you thought you had something in common with, and now there's this judgment and it makes it very uncomfortable to be around. And because who wants to, I mean, it's one thing when you like go to your family and you hear them talk about stuff that you disagree with and then you just kind of, yeah, it's my family. But it's like when you're like, it's in your face every day, especially by somebody who says they're the same, that can be a really toxic situation to be in. And so we've covered similar things like this before, but it's been a while. So I figured we would kind of dig into it, because I think it goes without saying, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know, we're going to be like, it's time for a conversation. You need to advocate and, you know, blah, 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 which we are going to talk about. But that might not always be the correct course of action. So what would make this not a good conversation to have? Why would that be?
I think that like it depends on the relationship with the roommate. Like, is this somebody, like, not necessarily partners, but is this somebody that you want to have kind of maybe like a platonic kinky relationship? Like, is it a mentor thing? Is it just like a buddy y'all go to events with, whatever? You kind of have to judge whether or not like the conversation's going to be worth it in the long term. But in the different side of things, like when the first couple of roommates out here, like we both worked in entertainment. We were both kind of in similar tracks of mind, but like, our values just didn't match up and we didn't have the same goals. And like, there was like the last person that I lived with, she, like, I came in like with the just on the basic level, like, I think that you should always be taking classes, like performance classes, because like the industries are always changing, especially in the media industry, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, nah, I was in college. I don't need classes anymore. I just know everything. Yeah, superior. And I'm just like, okay, I guess we're not gonna work as well together as I thought we were. It's one of those things where I think if it's something that feels like it's gonna be worth it in the long run, I think I'd say go for it. But at the same time, like, I have been in situations where I'll be at work, I'll be at some gig, and people I have never seen at a party or event ever before start shitting on kink and start shitting on BDSM and like, I just have to like sit there and grit my teeth and just like, I'm debating in my head the whole time, like, do I fucking say something and out myself and correct them?
Now, why don't you want to say something at work?
Because there could be an absolute consequence. Like, either
you could lose your job, or you could lose your roommate. You could
lose your roommate. Or it's like, maybe I don't lose my job, but then I become the target of ridicule for the rest of the day. Like, there are a lot of negative things that just make me go, you know what? I'm just going to keep my fucking mouth shut. Like, I did, this was a couple of years ago, I did some YouTube bullshit video that I don't think ever got actually made, thankfully. But in the video, they had like a full dungeon, and like they like rented out like all this dungeon equipment, and But like the whole time they were just sitting over there, like, just like absolutely like a using stuff wrong, which I was just like that.
Right.
No, but like,
you're like, yeah, can you just hold it that way?
Yeah, oh, it yeah, just holding seems the flogger too
right.
high.
I'm anyway. Sorry.
But also just like making fun of anybody who would be like, how, like, oh, people who are into this must be fucking sick, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just, it's one of those things that's like, I've been in situations where there's enough people around that, like, maybe I can, like, you know, I heard on a podcast, or like, I saw a YouTube video, or like, I know some friend. Like, I can, I have stepped into conversations before as trying to be like as third party as possible. But like you're saying, the big debate is like, are there going to be consequences for me bringing this up? And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's you can lose your roommate. It can create division. I mean, it's the same thing at home or work or anything. Like, this may be something that creates a big fight and resentment and animosity. And now you are stuck paying all the rent, or you get kicked out of the place and you can come live next to me in your car. And I'll tell you how great it is to stand up to people that are doing things that you strongly disagree with. I've done it a number of times in my life, and two of those times, which were very significant, wound me up homeless. So it is something that you have to consider before you get all brave and I'm going to stand up for myself, because there are possible consequences. And sometimes, as cringy and horrible as it feels, you do, like, especially with work, or, you know, like at a university, you know, whatever, you know, you kind of have to suck it up and just realize that the bigger picture is me having a place to live, me having a job, me not causing this conflict. And then you go and you have your support group friends that you do relate to, that do think about things in a positive way. And then you get to bitch to those friends. And that's how you handle it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because in the bigger picture, those consequences can be very devastating to your life. Like you said, I totally agree with. You can maybe have a vague conversation if you think that there's not going to be a lot of consequence, and say things like, hey, I know friends that are into this and they're very positive people, and I don't think you should, you know, be as judgy about that. And if you are, that's fine. But I don't really want to hear it, because I really care about these people. So you could make a vague kind of circle around conversation about that, or you can do what I always do that gets me in a lot of trouble, is I can sit them down and say, hey, you know what, this is who I am, and who you are and who I am are in direct conflict, so we either don't talk about this and move on, just exist and enjoy these things and not talk about these things, or I can just kick you in the junk and then bend over and rip a smelly right in your face. Because that's, I think ripping a smelly is a good idea. Gotten me in trouble a few times. I don't kick people in the junk usually, unless it's in a scene and they really like it. And it's usually not that hard with boots. But I digress. There, I think it's important to see this, because for me personally, I've been on the bad end of standing up for yourself and advocating so many times that I think it's important to kind of include that. And then there's the other thing that I kind of wanted to touch on, which at first you're thinking the negative about this person, because it's like, ah, it's douche nozzle, you know, because it's a common thing, like, to slut shame or kink shame someone because you can't live up to that. So instead of saying, oh, I don't do those things because those things scare me or make me uncomfortable or insecure, or I don't feel like I'd be good at it, instead of dealing with your own insecurities about it, you just shame someone for what they're doing. And that's a low, dude, people do that all the time in relationships, kink shaming in relationships, when you finally tell your partner, hey, these are some things that I'm interested in. And then they're like, you're sick. Why would you want to do that? That's a normal response based on your insecurity. And so that's one thing. Or if you want to go a little more compassionate, what if they had a really bad experience themselves and just kind of ignorantly assumed that it's always like that? that they had or maybe even a couple of experiences. And that happens. Sometimes people come into the lifestyle and then they hook up with the wrong people. They get together with the wrong people and they teach them very negative things. And that puts programming in their head that they've, you know, that this is all bad and these people are all sick because they had a couple experiences like that, which is also, you know, on the more real end, it's a kind of an ignorance and an immaturity about something, but it's something we do, you know, it's, you know, we don't all handle everything like pure science researchers where we have a big pool of information and, you know, we do lots of research and then collaborative research and go to class, you know, not everyone does that. So it is possible that the person's just coming from their own bad experiences. And once again, if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, that's something positive that you can bring out of that.
Yeah.
If you choose to go in that conversation.
This conversation reminded me that like Dee actually just had happened to have a poly relationship with her family recently. And because like she happened to slip that she spent the day with the other partner and then she went and then spent the party with me and then spent the night and then like her dad was like, does this other partner know that you're in a relationship with me or with Enigma? And then and she was like, oh, okay, I guess we're having this conversation now. Well, yeah, and like, I've met her family. Her family is fantastic, and he handled it incredibly well. It was very, it was very much. We laughed about it. It was very much like old white kind of conservative but liberal enough dad conversation. Where at the end of it, he was just like, you know, when a guy has two girlfriends, like it's good job. I guess for you, you know, nice, good job. And so,
all right, yeah, good outcome.
Yeah, and like I haven't had the conversation with my family, and that sparked a conversation with Dee about like why I haven't brought it up, and like a lot of it has to do, like I think my parents would be mostly fine. I think my dad would react very similarly to her dad, but like I am more worried about the BDSM conversation coming up because I definitely have family members who are a little bit more conservative and very much like I have younger relatives that I feel like they might be wary about because, oh, I'm the pervert in the family. It was an interesting conversation, and like, I am very happy that like her conversation went as well as it did. And it sounds like, you know, maybe the next time around them, that conversation might come up again. But yeah, I think her example is a good example of like how it can go well, but like it could have gone a very different way and very judgmental.
It could have been. You came out with a good. Yeah. And by the way, I'm gonna say 90% chance that topic will never be brought up.
Unless it has to. But yeah, it's gonna be.
I made that mistake. I remember when I started seeing Mew and her mom found out, she came out to her mom and her mom was trying to process it. And then all of a sudden she said, oh, by the way, I'm dating a guy that's 2 years older than you. And the mom's like, you know, and she's like trying to be supportive. And she's like, well, I want to meet this person, blah, blah, blah. And we had been dating for a few months. And so it was, you know, it was really positive, you know, the positives about me, and didn't mention that I'm nuts, but, you know, and I remember, I don't know if I said this on the show, but I probably an overexcited douche move on my part. I got to admit, I would never do this again. So apparently I think it's a douche move. So I was excited that, you know, that I was going to meet the mom and that I was going to actually meet the mom and she understood what the score was and that this was, you know, her daughter had said who she was and whatever. So I thought it would be nice to send a quick email and say, hey, if you have any questions about this, more than happy to answer it. And, you know, that it may be uncomfortable because of the age or whatever, but I just want you to know if you want to, It sounded like a really good idea.
Yes.
It sounded like a good way, but I don't think it was, because the response was not good. Because what I didn't realize at the time is that mom was being supportive to her daughter as best she could, not understanding. I was not in that equation. At that time, I was still the enemy that was creating conflict in her world. So any olive branch or openness, like, here's this guy, he's really excited about sharing this. It just, in hindsight, I'm like, that was a completely douchey thing to do. And it was, you know, my intentions were good, but this was so she got upset and she's like, look, I just want to meet the guy that makes my daughter happy. I don't want to talk about all this blah 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 whatever stuff. And she kind of snapped at me. Which in hindsight was probably pretty normal. And I was just like, I remember I called me and I'm like, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea that I go meet her. And then it became kind of like a thing. And then, you know, the mom said, oh, I want to meet him, whatever. And so the lasers, when I walked in the door, she was very polite, but you could see, and I've seen it before, the laser beams boring into my skull, which, of course, over time, when she saw my actions in Mew's life, obviously softened. She still talks about me to this day, even though Mew and I haven't been together for a couple of years, few years now. So, but in that initial thing, maybe just shut the hell up and go in and smile and take your lasers and bring some nice Danish or something. Just try to get out with your life and don't be overly helpful when you're the outsider.
I think it's important to like just be yourself without having to try to like explain yourself. Like, if they want to have the conversation, they'll have the conversation. Like, there will be members. Like, when we went home, when I took D home for the Christmas stuff, like, we had family who, like, I was expecting to have, like, oh, it's been a year or so, marriage, babies, living together, blah 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 blah. But like, I only had one cousin who kind of brought it up, but like, everybody else was very kind and just like, yay, we love meeting this person who you care about and has agreed to come and like meet your crazy family. And like, it was just everybody was really, really nice about it. And so it was just that there are good examples, but like, this person who is having the roommate be a little negative, like, is this, do you think the conversation will go well? If the answer is yes, then try it. Like, maybe like watch 50 Shades of Grey, or so, like, have some sort of like introductory, I'm just saying, like, have some sort of like conversation starter, and then see if you can like open the conversation from there. Maybe it's not 50 Shades, but like, about some sort of conversation that like opens the conversation and opens maybe helps them see a different side of the lifestyle.
Like, just get a piece of, you know, steak and just lay it on the kitchen counter. We're going to have dinner, but instead of like, you know, seasoning it, you actually pull out that hammer and just start screaming at it, telling it to kneel, you know, telling it to be your good little steak bitch. Gah, 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 yeah. Yeah. You like that? And then look over at the roommate and be like, does that do anything for you?
And they're hard on their knees. Kind of like, oh, never mind. All
right. That's right. Yeah. You're like, oh, well, I guess we're about to have a change. But also, once again, coming from Uncle Boogie over here, I've lost a lot advocating for myself and other people. I've lost a lot. And you should consider that in this type of conversation, when somebody has a lot of strong judgments against something, that may create a consequence where you're no longer able to stay there. And so if that isn't something you've considered and something you haven't maybe have some sort of backup plan for, then sometimes it's best to just, I can't believe I'm saying this. Sometimes it's best to just shut up and not be right.
Yep.
Ow, that really
does really hurt. And like, that happened with the my last roommate. Like, there, I had to be real careful. Like, I think I did like a photo shoot that was like mildly risque when she was there one time, and just like the side eye that I got, I was like, oh, I can't talk about you. I can't talk about anything. Like, and this was after I knew about like their perspective on classes and whatever. It was like, oh, we're just completely different in every okay, understood. Yeah, it was a very awkward year, and now I've lived by myself for like 3 years. Like,
so now you can get crazy all by yourself. That's what I like. That's the way I like to do it.
Yes, sir.
Enigma. Fantastic and slightly difficult conversation to have. But real good nonetheless. Glad you're having so much fun in your life. I'm still working on that myself, but it's an endeavor, and we try and we work together. If the kids want to get a hold of us, how would they go about
doing
that?
Well, if they want to email us about how sexy our voices are, they can email us at pervertedpodcast@gmail.com. If they want to follow us on social media, we are on Instagram at pervertedpodcast. Or if they're on FetLife, they can search for us. Just search pervertedpodcast. There's both a group and a page, and you can find us there.
Doesn't love anal?
I'm a straight shooter and I'm going in your booter.
Who doesn't love anal?
Get a little lube and let my weenie love your poop too.
Yeah!
Absolutely.
Shit. I thought about it. It's like the center of my entire philosophy. There are no absolutes. So even if I say something opinionated, then don't take me at that word. There's always a grain of salt. Always know that in the back of Count Boogie's mind, there are no absolutes. There's always a different thing. So I may speak like it's an absolute, but it's not an absolute. But then I fucking say absolutely all the time, which means an absolute, which means I'm just confusing people and my fucking self. Sorry.
You're fine.
Let's end the show.
Yes, let's end the show.
Here's how we do it behind the scenes, kids. This is the shit we talk about behind the scenes. And then I go 3, 2, 1.
And that is absolutely the end of show 398. Thank you.
Thank God. I don't believe in God either. Jesus, fuck.
And you just mentioned Jesus and...
fucking Jesus.
If you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to taunt Boogie with the word absolutely, please reach out to us at pervertedpodcast@gmail.com or find us on TikTok or Instagram under the name Perverted Podcast. And on FetLife, there is both a group and a page. You can support us for free by hitting the like or subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to us on. It really does help other kinksters like you find us. And don't forget, you can share episodes too. If you have kinky friends that say, hey, this might be an episode, I heard you were talking about something, go ahead and send it to them. That'd be great. If you'd like to support us a little bit more and inflict a little more torture on Boogie and myself, please go to patreon.com/pervertedpodcast and sign up for our $5 if you give a fuck level, where you get the shows a few days early, lots of behind the scenes stuff, and our half a peepee episode, and you can become a peepee sugar zombie. And of course, love and kisses to our patrons around the world. Your support means the world to us.
We do love you, and we will see you on the next magical big show.
Everybody's got something in their closet that they'd like to hide
away.
Inside of mine, I only have a pair of shoes and a hand grenade. My only claim to fame is to not stare at the sun. If you run, don't be so serious. Try to have some fun. Everybody has bad days. You're not the only one.
born. Smell.